The purpose of this lecture is to discuss the concept of being aware of reality, of being awake. Religions around the world discuss the concept of being awake, of being aware. Today we discuss this concept in terms of today's world. What does being awake mean in today's world? What does being aware mean in today's world? You need to go back in time. You need to understand time. Nature is billions of years old. The world of nature is eternal. To be in harmony with nature is to be awake. Today's world, American imperialism, American economic and political ideas, and the legacy of totalitarian communism, these are ideas that are contradictions of reality. These are ideas that are not real. Today, the world is presiding over the largest mass murder, the largest destruction of nature ever. It's the greatest waves of extinctions since the Permian extinction 250 million years ago. These are deliberate acts of murder. 90% of the large fish, 98% of the lions, 97% of the tigers. The scale of destruction is horrendous. These acts are also acts of suicidal madness, because the human species, which is only about 40,000 years old, depends on the natural world for its survival. So it isn't a question of being worried about nature or a contradiction between nature and people. People are involved in destroying themselves. Nature will survive. Nature has billions of years. So nature is not in danger. People are in danger. By our calculations of 15 years of study, you're talking about a minimum death toll of 2 billion in the next 50 years. That's a done deal. Now, it could be a lot worse. It could be 100%. But we need to start the discussion of today's world in that frame of reference. Now, when we look at the political systems of the world, the sort of political, just as in we have destroyed in agriculture a biodiverse seed bank and replaced it with synthetic monocultures, we also have a synthetic monoculture in terms of the world's political systems, particularly since the end of the Cold War. We are informed by the ruling elite that the American Declaration of Independence, the American Constitution, the American economic system, these are the crowns of creation. Not only are they the crowns of the creation, America makes claims that many totalitarian leaders, even like Hitler, never made. They claim their system is the only system for everybody on the planet. Now, this is insane. This is crazy. We won't get into the details we've discussed in other lectures about the massive internal contradictions of documents such as the Declaration of Independence, that the concept of all men were created equal, aside from being an idiotic concept in itself, is a self-contradiction in terms of the world that these people were presiding over, such as, i.e., Native Americans and blacks were certainly not created equal by the people who claimed to be signing that paper. So we won't even get into that. But the point is, we need to judge this whole situation by what it's doing to nature and where that's going to go. Now, to get people turned around and get people moving in the direction of reform is going to be very difficult. And the as you look at this system, you realize there's an inner awareness, not just a rational awareness, an instinctive awareness, not just an intellectual awareness. And there's an instinctive poison in people's minds. The more you look at things, the more you understand the subconscious part of the mind. And the subconscious part of the mind generally cannot be reached directly, but it can be reached via repetition of ideas, and it can be reached by experience. The experience of being in nature, which most people can't really reach today because so much of it's being destroyed, but that's why we have videos on nature, pictures of nature on our websites. That's about the closest a lot of people are going to get to it these days. But that's better than nothing. When you look at that, you have a frame of reference that puts today's society in perspective as a synthetic world. But not just a synthetic world, it's a toxic world. And you also have to think of the concept of toxic ideas. In particular, the American education system and the media is a system for the poisoning of the mind, just as the American economic and political system is poisoning the bodies of the people of the world and exterminating a good part of the species on which human beings depend for their survival. The idea of an American monoculture of political theory is just as toxic as the whole concept of destroying biodiverse seed banks and replacing them with synthetic monocultures. So you need to filter all that sort of junk out of your head before you even begin to start conceiving of what needs to get done. We would state that it would be better if the parliamentary democracy systems in the West were able to reform themselves in a peaceful, nonviolent manner. That would be desirable. That is something that we would be in favor of. However, it is very, very unlikely that that is going to happen. Unfortunately, the structure of post-war environmentalism in the left, in the West, and among the left in the post-war period is locked into a monocultural mindset that the only solution is holding elections, going along with the whole screwed-up system, and somehow hoping that the years of failure are going to somehow one day turn into a magical success. The fiasco for these people in the 2010 congressional elections and the train wreck of Obama in the United States should serve as a wake-up call to these people. But it's very doubtful that that situation alone will be adequate to wake up the levels of blind faith and delusion. So what we are heading towards is a series of crises that will bring down the current system. And people need to have the creativity to think in terms of different political systems for different cultures. But in particular, there is going to be, if democracies cannot reform themselves, and evidence is quite clear that they won't, there is going to be a need for authoritarian systems. Now, some people say, oh, that's bad for human rights. Human rights can't exist without human responsibilities. Clearly, the current system shows that people are not willing to assume those responsibilities, so they have no right to have rights. People are pounding on the table about their rights. They have no right to have rights. They don't have a right to destroy the planet. No, they do not. And insofar as people are going to try to destroy the planet, those people need to be stopped by any means necessary. Now, going back to the issue of awareness, it's very important to understand that a lot of the people, particularly in America, are sick. They're mentally sick. Their minds are sick. Their minds are filled with poison. This is not a good system. These are not good people. How many of them may be able to be saved, may be able to be straightened out, Who knows? But time is running out, and the ability to voluntarily re-educate these people is not going to happen. A lot of these people are going to resist reform, and those people are going to have to be crushed, period. It's very important to understand that totalitarianism has its own dynamic. America, with its usual self-righteous pretentiousness, likes to claim that totalitarianism is bad and it's a diabolical force and democracy is good. Democracy, so-called democracy, and it's not clear whether America is a democracy, is a malevolent force in today's world. It's not a benevolent force. That's rubbish. And this is a system that is setting the stage for destroying everything. So obviously you should wake up and see that's not a benevolent force. In a crisis, things move towards totalitarianism. There's a great logic to a cyclical view of history as opposed to the American linear view of history of the world getting better and better and better with America running everything and invading other countries and telling them what to do and so on. We see in America today something similar to the suicide of democracy in Athens. You had an imperialist monster, a lunatic by the name of Pericles, who launched this grand scheme to take over all of Greece by military force. It ended in disaster, and after a certain period of chaos in ancient Greece, you had the collapse of the so-called polis of Athens and the replacement of the world state, the cosmopolis of Alexander the Great. And it's quite possible that we are moving to something similar to that today. That is reality. That is what's likely to come. And we need to think about the purpose of our organization, among other things, is to start thinking about what the real future is going to be. We have our pictures of the world in 2030. You should read them. They should wake you up. That's the kind of real future that's being brought to us by the current plutocratic elite that are presiding over a so-called democracy that they claim is the perfect system. That's where this is headed. So that's the real future. That's what we need to start making decisions on, and we start to make planning on that. However, there's a refusal to do crisis planning because you'd have to admit that there's a crisis. And if you had to admit there was a crisis, you'd have to raise questions about the people in power and why they have all these privileges. So, you see, in the West, far from being this great thing of freedom, is you have a certain class of people, the sort of political class that goes to all these stupid meetings and presides over a completely incompetent situation and enriches themselves and has the privilege and power. These people are not wonderful people. These people are part of a criminal and rotting system, and they need to be swept aside. It's very important to understand, in conclusion, the inevitability of all this. It's not a question of destroying democracy. You don't need to worry about that. Democracy is hard at work destroying itself. So that's not something that's... The question is, what steps on the ruins? And continuing to cling to a corpse, continuing to cling to a dying system, is a luxury that we don't have. We need to think creatively about the authoritarian system that is almost certain to become, and to see how this will put in the reforms to stop the destruction of nature and preserve life. Things return to beginnings, and when humans existed in nature, it was a savage world. It was a dangerous world. It was human life was constantly in doubt. Technology was created to eliminate that, but it has come full circle that now technology threatens an even greater disaster than anything that was faced by primitive man. So we are back to the situation of survival, and it is we need to summon within ourselves a life force. Not filter out all the junk of American imperialism, filter out all the junk of the status quo, and go back to a primitive life force. And that's why we feel the study of primitive religions is relevant, to get back to a primitive awareness of what's real, what's not real, what's necessary, what's not necessary, because we have already come back to that stage, and in some ways much more dangerous stage, that where we are facing survival. The historian Arnold Toynbee said, "Nature chastised man with whips, technology chastises man with scorpions." And what Toynbee didn't fully explain is this is leading towards disaster. So we are facing a crisis of survival, just as primitive man did in the forests of the pre-technology world. And we need to summon within ourselves a life force to make the tough decisions to resolve the problems. And we should come to terms with the fact that these are tough decisions. There are no good solutions to this situation. Very harsh measures are going to be needed to get us back to reality. That's the conclusion of this lecture.